Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Thanks for joining us today as we continue our lesson on how did these films get made? This is a very interesting lesson. I hope you're enjoying it. It's about films, movies, and most people like movies. But how did they get made and why did they get made? We're glad that you're here with us again today. Aren't we glad to have everybody with us? Let's give them a big hand. Come on.
Yay! Yeah,
and give you a big hand for joining us. Who else is with us today besides your teacher, Doris Brome? Who else?
Well, hi, everyone. I'm Catherine.
And this is Bill.
And I'm Nathaniel. Glad to be back.
Okay, so let's get into the lesson today, Bill. Well, let's do a little recap on what we learned yesterday.
Well, we started out yesterday, Doris, by learning about the importance of relationships in between studios and directors and actors, and why these relationships are so important in getting movies off the ground. So we read about Warner Brothers and Christopher Nolan and 20th Century Fox and James Cameron, just a couple of directors that have close relationship with the studios.
So we're talking about why they made them, and we're talking about the relationships. Why were the relationships important, or how were they important?
Well, when you have an individual that's close with a studio or some kind of mix like that, an actor close to a director, they're more likely to be able to do something that they want to do. In one example, this director made Anonymous, even though maybe a lot of people didn't think it was such a good idea.
And if I were you, I would review all these terms. There's so many good terms in here that you could go over. Which terms did you kind of like yesterday, Catherine?
Well, I really liked the schmooze and woo and cozy up to everything when you're trying to get something done. You have to work with people really closely.
Well, I kind of like the idea of something being preposterous, because I hear a lot of preposterous ideas. People want to do this and do that, and they seem kind of preposterous to me. They don't seem very possible.
And one kind of funny one to me was the use of smell test for a movie idea.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of, you know, you open the milk bottle, see if the milk is still any good or not.
Right.
Yeah,
smell
test.
This movie's got a bad smell.
Yeah, right.
I suppose writers could do the same thing, authors, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Yeah, crashed and burned was actually one of our terms also yesterday, and it just means that something fails miserably. We can use it not just for movies that have failed, but business ventures fail, even
hey,
individuals.
Hey, what about the stock market? It crashes all the time.
Stock market crashes and burns, so
right.
It means something failed and failed very quickly.
Right, but it crashes, boy, it's not good anymore.
That's good.
Okay, well, let's look at page 45 today. We're going to start here talking a little bit about the relationships. It says built on relationships, on Guanxi. So let's read that first section there, just the first few sentences through line 31.
Built on relationships. To hear Pascal tell it, to attract gifted stars and filmmakers, you have to back their vision, whether it's clear or cloudy. You have to believe in your talent, she said. I'm certainly not going to make a film that I don't like, but when you have a relationship, something special comes out of that trust that you've built up over years of working together.
Who is this Pascal here?
This is Amy Pascal, Doris, and we met her yesterday. She is the studio co-chairman at Sony, so she's one of the big decision makers in Hollywood. She can decide if a movie is made or not.
We haven't heard about her much before this. We've certainly heard about Will Smith and all of the people mentioned here, but we haven't heard about her. But she's very important in the industry, isn't she?
Just as important as Will Smith or any famous actor or actress, because they are the decision makers. And it's interesting. She has to deal with all of these gifted stars and filmmakers, so she knows what it takes to attract them and keep them happy.
She said that you have to back their vision.
Right. And so she means that you have to support them. You have to be there for them and, you know, like what they want to do.
And when it says you have to believe in your talent, I think this has something to do with giving them the benefit of the doubt, which we're going to talk about more later. But you have to say, well, I guess maybe they know. I mean, I don't feel that way, but they seem to. So you have to back them on it.
Right. It's an interesting use of the word talent. It's really referring to the people with talent that you are working with, maybe the writer, the actor, the director.
Mm-hmm. But she says, I'm not going to make a film that I don't like. So in a way, she says she's not going to, and yet sometimes they sort of do. So there's a little combination of what they're going to do and what they aren't going to do, Bill.
I actually, when I read this, Doris, I found this conflict between reality and what she says.
Mm-hmm.
And because she says, I'm not going to make a film that I don't like, but she does make films that she doesn't like. The reason she does that is because of these relationships. She does it to keep people happy. She says, well, something special comes out. Well, in some ways, I think what's special is coming out is the long-term thing that she's looking at is, I got to keep this person happy. And you know, eventually we'll make money.
So I think she believes in them, but I don't think, Bill, that she does everyone. So she's probably saying that there's certain times I'm sure she will turn them down. She's not going to do everything they want, do you think?
No, I think at some point probably most studios make a movie that they really don't like the way they turned out.
Right, but they don't do it all the time.
Right, no, not all the time.
Don't count on it, right?
That's right.
What she's saying here, when something comes out of that trust that you've built up together over the years, now – definitely, she's going to feel more comfortable working with Will Smith or you know, some of the directors that she's worked with closely, and rather than a new person.
Yeah.
And Nathaniel could walk in the door with a great idea. She's probably going to turn him down just because she has no comfort level with
him.
Don't
discourage Nathaniel so soon.
Oh.
He's young.
He'll survive. He
might be one of the new ones that comes in there. But you know, Nathaniel, the next part here talks about the benefit of the doubt. And that's a very good phrase, the benefit of the doubt, isn't it?
It is. You're not sure about something, but maybe because you're familiar with someone or you trust them, you're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. You're going to trust them even if you're not sure what the result will be.
So you're going to give them a chance even though you don't necessarily agree mm-hmm. with their idea, but you are going to let them know that you'll do it because of them, right?
Yeah, that's right. Because of them, I'm going to go ahead with you on this even if I'm not sure about it.
Well, let's read that section about the benefit of the doubt.
Benefit of the doubt. Pascal hedged her bets financially with Anonymous, but she says she has no regrets. I believed in what Roland wanted to do. He had something fresh and entertaining to say, which is all you can ask for from a filmmaker. In other words, Emmerich had enough money in the Sony bank to get the benefit of the doubt. You could say the same thing for David Frankel, the director of The Big Year. He ended up making a film that was virtually impossible to market, despite its star talent. But even though Fox is not known for developing cozy talent relationships, Frankel was a rare exception. Having earned tons of money from his previous two films, Marley and Me and The Devil Wears Prada, both made for Fox.
To hedge somebody's bets, to hedge your bets, is a very interesting phrase. We see this and read it often.
Right, yeah, and if you hedge your bets, you're going to protect yourself financially. Usually, financially, we think of this. You are kind of counting on something to happen, but if it doesn't, you're going to make sure that you're not going to lose too much from that happening.
Well, she probably didn't lose too much from it. I think, Catherine, you said you read something about that, too.
That's right. I read online that Roland Emmerich actually financed the whole movie Anonymous himself. So it's kind of Pascal agreed to make the movie because she had no real financial stake, and right. The studio didn't have to pay for it because Emmerich was. So
they still, of course, had to use the studio and the people and mm-hmm. the time and the reputation. So she still had something at risk,
yeah,
but not as much financially because he had some money to pay for it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times they will have them do this, invest their own money in it. This goes all the way back to Walt Disney. We did the Snow White article.
Right.
He actually had to finance much of Snow White 75 years ago. Mm-hmm. So,
right, that's true. She's still popular, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then you could say the same thing for the other director, David Frankel. What about David Frankel?
David Frankel, he is in a different studio than this anonymous example, but in the top of that one paragraph of the column, it says Emmerich had enough money in the Sony bank to get the benefit of the doubt. He'd made enough money for the studio, so they let him go on his own idea with this Big Year movie.
Yeah, and he made this film, but they said it was practically or almost impossible to market. I was the only one in here that said they'd like to go and see it. The rest of you don't even want to see that one, you know? But I think it could be kind of fun. But despite the fact it had star talent in it, and yet they didn't make too much money because who wants to see a movie about watching birds?
Well, we talked a little bit about this before our program, Doris, is that movies, it's key that they have a great first weekend at the box office, and that actually will make or break the film. And so if you look at that poster of the Big Year, and audiences are going to read about, what's this thing about, and these guys are bird watching, and unless that movie theater is sold out that first weekend, a lot of times the theaters will just pull it out, and it won't even make it into the
second
week.
They won't even go into the second week.
So the first weekend is key, so that's why, you know, a movie like that, it's virtually impossible for it to market.
So if you look at that poster, and let's say I would go and see it because I thought it looked kind of funny, and then I thought it was really good, and a lot of people did that, and they told their friends, hey, you should see it, then they might go and see it, and that way it could make it a hit. But if people said, well, it wasn't much to it. So the beginning, the first few days is very important in a movie like that.
Well, and, you know, unfortunately in our marketplace today for the moviegoers, it's so important to have these action movies, explosions, chase scenes, and science fiction
scenes,
maybe, and graphics. And a lot of people don't really necessarily go to movies that don't have all of this action in it, or if they're movies that want people to really think deeply about things, like even that Shakespeare movie.
You liked that one, didn't you?
Yeah, I was a big fan of the movie. It has a really interesting story.
Did it have much action in it?
Actually, it does have some action. There's some revolt. There's some very interesting things. But, you know, one interesting thing about that movie is when I wanted to go see it, when it was supposed to come out, none of the theaters in my area, and there were a lot of theaters, were showing it. They all said, well, we didn't know if anyone would want to see that. But my friends and I wanted to see it, and we didn't get the chance.
Okay. Mm. So it's kind of a gamble on these things, isn't it?
It is. It is a gamble. But, you know, these studios are willing to take it because of these relationships with the directors.
These cozy talent relationships. So close relationships, right? But Frankel was a rare exception because he had earned a lot of money. Of course, The Devil Wears Prada is still very well known, and some of these other movies. So do you think that's really a good idea to make movies with people that, even though you think the movie's not very good, do you think the studio should do that, Bill?
Well, I think in some cases they don't have much choice because they're looking at this and saying, okay, this director is really talented. We like some of his or her ideas, but we're gonna do this thing because he's done stuff for us in the past, or he's got to do some stuff for us in the future, which is actually something that we're going to find out in our next section, actually why the future is so important and why they're willing to do these things.
Okay, but ordinarily speaking, probably, you know, everybody doesn't always have the best ideas. You might have some good ideas, but not every one of your ideas is good. So I think they have to be careful that we don't do things just to pamper people. What do you think?
Well, I think that the reason this happens is there's a fear that if a studio turns a director down, he's going to go to the next studio, and that could be the next big thing.
And you'd lose out.
Yeah. No, I mean, you lose your chance, and then that director will never come work for you again. That's
I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
I really
definitely
do.
You know, we're talking about studios and directors and producers here, but also then the actors are part of this because, mm-hmm. for instance, we see that Franco made this movie a couple of movies before, Marley and Me and The Devil Wears Prada. Well, Owen Wilson was in Marley and Me. So a lot of times we'll see the same directors team up with the same actors. Mm. And again, that goes back to that bankability. That's why we keep seeing the same actors again and again. In a year, you'll see three or four movies the same actor because it's familiarity. Studios and directors know that audiences will pay for familiarity. They would rather go – they're willing to pay for Owen Wilson. They don't know who Nathaniel Dunn is. I keep beating up on Nathaniel. But
that's true.
They're going to bank on Owen Wilson.
Chance,
yeah. Someday everybody will know.
Yeah, okay. Someday they'll know that.
Yeah,
right.
But not today.
Okay. But, you know, he's got to have a chance sometime too, right? But it did say that they're looking for new talent, but we'll keep him here for now, right?
Sounds good.
But anyway, that's true that, you know, they do have this thing of Guan Xi, and you can't really escape this relationship thing, actually, can you?
No, I mean, you have to have relationships when you're doing business. You can't just betray everyone at every turn. How are you going to succeed that way?
Right. You have to have the help of other people. So sometimes you support their ideas, even if you don't believe in them too much. But if you lose too much money on them a couple times in a row, I think you would probably cool it with that person.
There are examples. One example I could think of... About 13 or 14 years ago, one director was very successful. M. Night Shyamalan, I think his name was, mm-hmm. and he made this movie, The Sixth Sense. Well, he was the hottest director in Hollywood, and so the same studio kept backing him. Well, after about five or six flops, they finally gave up on the guy.
Yeah. So
it reached the point. They said, we've had enough of this
sometimes
guy.
Sometimes you have to really produce something that they like, right?
Yeah.
That's good. Well, you said that goes on to the next part with Hollywood gambles. And gambling is something that we do in a lot of different ways. It doesn't always mean going to a casino and putting your money down. But how do we gamble on a lot of different things in life?
Well, we invest in things. We invest time and money. We might invest time in a person. It turns out to be a gamble. That relationship's a gamble. We might invest a gamble on real estate. So there's all sorts of gambles.
Or you gamble on doing something like if you want to make some apps with your magazine, or you're gambling whether it's going to work or not. These are all different things. You put money on development, and it may work and it may not work. So we constantly take risks, don't we?
Right. We don't know if something's going to work out, but again, we're going to give it the benefit of the doubt. It might just be a big hit.
So let's see how Hollywood gambles as we read the rest of the article.
Hollywood gambles. It's hard to imagine where Hollywood would be if no one was willing to take a gamble on what are often complicated creative partnerships. Just ask the folks at Warner Brothers, who made out like bandits with Nolan's Inception, even though greenlighting the film was, in part, a show of support designed to ensure that the director would remain at the helm of the Batman franchise. Relationships are complicated, Pascal said. But you can't run a company simply by the numbers. So if you're going to bet on someone, you bet on someone you want to be in business with for a long time.
So the next thing about the gamble part, it says it's hard to imagine where Hollywood would be if you didn't take a gamble. And that's true in business situations. I mean, look at all these things like Facebook and all these things. They all took gambles when they started, and where would they be if they didn't start out? So almost everything has to start out as a gamble, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because most of these gambles, too, are stretching the boundaries of what is accepted. People are willing to gamble, say, hey, look, we've got something new, a new trend we're going to start, a new idea, and somebody's got to take a gamble on it. Of course, the reason they do this is the financial reward is great if they are successful.
Right. So where would Hollywood be if they didn't try to do something with these complicated creative partnerships? Where would they be? They probably wouldn't be going anyplace because people wouldn't have any new ideas. They would just do the old ones over and over, and people would get tired of them, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I guess whenever you do try to do something new, there is always some kind of risk involved. You don't know if someone is going to be interested in that or not because no one's really seen it before.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you have to think about the response, I guess, from people. And you never know if people are going to like it or not want to watch it.
Well, I think it's a balancing act between, okay, we got to go with some of the old standards, the accepted ones that we know are going to work, like the romantic comedies with Owen Wilson. But then in this next paragraph, we take a look at what Warner did. They took a real chance on this movie Inception from director Nolan, and they actually made out like bandits.
So what about that movie? Did anybody see that movie? Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw it one time. It was a few years ago, and it's a very, very complicated movie that involves dreams. Do you know much about it, Nathaniel?
Doesn't sound like one I would go and see.
Oh, I've seen it many times. It was actually very, very successful.
Really?
I own the movie. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
What, was it exciting or what?
Yes, there was some action involved, but there's a lot of thinking that you have to do to keep up with the plot. And the ending is also very thoughtful as well.
Very, very in-depth.
Did you see it, Bill?
Yeah, I did see it. And actually, if you even just tried to describe this, I'm trying to imagine Christopher Nolan describing this to the studio before he makes it. They would totally be confused, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but what they did is they said, all right, we're going to take a risk. We're going to take a gamble on you. This idea, we don't even understand. And they made out like bandits, which means they made a lot of money. It was highly successful.
Right. Even more than they deserve, because bandits rob people of money. In other words, you wouldn't think they would make money. And they, of course, they didn't make the money, but they got the money, the bandits. They stole the money, really. But in this case, you would think, well, they wouldn't make much on this, but they made up so much money. It's just like robbing a bank. They got more money than they thought. Right,
yeah. This film, it is very complicated. I know a lot of people who don't really like it, but so many people thought it was so interesting and original that it really was very successful.
What was interesting and original about it?
Well, like Catherine said, it has to do with dreams, and it's also kind of a dream heist movie where people kind of go inside someone's dreams to steal a thought or plant an idea. So no one really heard of anything like that before.
And you really liked it, huh?
I really liked it, and many other people did too.
Yeah, it was a really cool movie. It's just, you really have to pay attention or you get lost.
I actually liked it. It's one of the few movies I
liked. You liked it too.
But you know what's interesting is they took a gamble. In the second part of this paragraph, Doris, this goes back to a big part of why they were willing to take a gamble on Christopher Nolan. Not just, okay, it's financially, but they were thinking of the future because they wanted to show some support to him. They had motives also for supporting him.
Yes, they green-lighted the film, which means they said, go ahead. They got the green light. Okay, let's go ahead and make it. And they showed the support to be sure, ensure that the director would stay at the helm of this Batman franchise.
Bingo. They know Batman is a moneymaker. Batman prints money. We need Christopher Nolan to make Batman, continue the franchise. He's already made two for us. They've been slam dunks. So, all right, we're going to do this crazy Inception idea just to keep you happy.
Keep him happy.
Yeah.
So, but the relationships are very complicated, they said. And you can't run a company just by the numbers, by what's going to work. You have to bet on somebody. You have to be sure that you think that that person is going to help you in the long run. So that's what it's all about in the relationships, isn't it?
Well, relationships are complicated. And that's from Amy Pascal. Again, we go back. She's there, the co-chairman at Sony. And then she's saying, it's not just the numbers. And we have to support these people and their ideas. Well, speaking of studios and some of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, that's where we pick up with our feature from yesterday and finish our story.
What do you think about Brooke Jones?
Oh, she just isn't right for the part. There was nothing striking about her audition.
I don't know, Joel. I really think we should give her the benefit of the doubt. She's my neighbor's granddaughter.
Okay, I'll hedge my bets. I trust you, Jessica.
I won't let you down. I'll call Brooke right away and let her know.
Hello, this is Brooke speaking.
Hi, Brooke. It's Jessica from the Hollywood studio.
Oh, hi. If you're calling to tell me I didn't land the part, my agent already told me.
I am so sorry to hear that, but I have some news. I made out like a bandit. I spoke to the director about your audition. I did some schmoozing, and boom, he gave me the green light to offer you the part.
Oh my goodness, are you serious? I thought it was virtually impossible. Thank you so much for your help, Jessica. I guess it really is all about who you know.
Well, it turned out well. She did get the role, primarily because of her relationship building.
So remember, relationships are important in things. And also, remember that you can learn a lot of new words and phrases if you listen to Advanced every day.
Ryan, even in the movie business where everything seems to be about money, relationships still play a big part.
Yeah, I think that was the best point, that a company can't just be run by numbers. It is about the people involved in the business.
And I think, you know, this is something we need to remember in whatever field that we are working in. All right, maybe we're not in movies, but you might work in accounting or, you know, retail or something like that. And relationships are just as important there for your career. So do not sell yourself short on relationships. Make sure that you take the time to build relationships with the people within your industry.
And remember that in Advanced, you are our friends for life. That's a good relationship, so let's keep it going strong. Thanks for being with us for this lesson. Have another interesting one coming up. So have a good day, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.